Hello, my name is Chris Reisner, and I'm a technical evangelist for Windows Azure at Microsoft. Recently, we launched a few features which give you a lot more power and control of your mobile service, especially when it comes to the scripting layer. This video is going to review some of those features and demonstrate how you can access them from your iOS apps. The features we'll look at today include custom API, script source control, shared scripts, and NPM support. First, I've already created a mobile service named iOS Service. This is a brand new mobile service, and is basically the exact same thing you would get if you chose to create a new mobile service. So the first thing I'll do is I'll go into the Create a New iOS app, and I'll create a to-do item table. I'm going to use the Quick Start application for a little bit of today's demonstration, so I just want to make sure that table exists. The next thing we'll do is we'll go into the API tab. With mobile services, you create a REST API is created whenever you generate a table, and that's how you perform all the data access. Custom API is basically a way of generating custom endpoints in your mobile service that don't necessarily connect to a specific table. So you're not actually tied to doing SQL database work whenever you hit one of these methods. So we'll go ahead and create a new API and call it Test API. One thing I'll point out is that just like how when you create tables and you can set permissions for each table operation, you can do the same thing for each operation or each HTTP method when you create a custom API. So if I wanted everyone to be able to get information, but only authorized users to be able to post information, I could do that. We'll leave the permissions as they are for now, and just go ahead and create our custom API. Now that the API has been created, let's go into it. As we can see here, we define a script that exports the functionality for each of the different HTTP methods. By default, this is returning a 200 status code and the Hello World text when I post to it. I'm going to leave the post as it is for now and add the following get functionality. I'm just going to copy what we have for post. I'll change this to get right here. And then in here, instead of just returning hello world, I'm going to create a new JSON object. Now, I'll get rid of where I'm returning the string here, and I'll return the JSON. So let's save that. I'll go ahead and dismiss this. Now, as I said before, I'm going to use the Quick Start application for a little while today. So I'll go down here and I'll download my Quick Start app. Let's go ahead and open that up in Xcode. Now, if we run the application, it's going to work as the Quick Start, which is the basic to-do list. Today, we're talking about other things, so what I'm going to do is actually go into my UI, and I'll just add a new button that I'll use to communicate with my custom API. So we'll just put this up here. It's not very glamorous, but it's going to accomplish the purpose. So inside assistant mode, I'm just going to drag over here to create a new action for when I tap my button. Now, let's go into the code for that. Inside here, I'll call self.todoService, and we're going to make a new method called testAPI. It's not going to take any parameters, it's just going to basically perform a backend connection for us. So then, we'll hop over to the QS to-do service. I'll add my new method in here. And then, I need to actually go to the implementation, and I'll go ahead and implement that method. So, inside here, let's first start by calling the post method. So to do that, we'll use our MS client, which we've already created in the code for the Quick Start application. We'll then call the invoke API method. And in this situation, we're going to use this second method, where the first parameter is the name of the API, and the second parameter is data. Basically, there are two methods currently provided in the iOS framework for mobile services for calling our custom APIs. There's one where we specify JSON, and there's one where we just specify data. For now, we'll call the second method to call the data, or to use data. So we'll call test API. We're not actually going to send any data over. We are going to do a post. We won't have any parameters or headers, but if we had those, we could actually put those in right there. And then inside here, this is where we put the completion handler. So what should happen when we get our response back? So first, we'll log the response.statuscode. Then we need to pull out, so since we're not getting JSON data back, which mobile services works with JSON data primarily, so whenever you do table and table data access, it is with JSON. Since we're not doing JSON here, we kind of need to do a little something extra to get our data out of our response. So here we basically are casting that string or interpreting it as UTF-8 string data. Once we've done that, we can actually log what that data is. Now if we build our application, we should be able to run it. And now when I hit my button up here, we'll see that down here in my console output, I see I had a 200 response code, and then this is the string data that came back. And I can do a lot more complicated things in that custom API script. Now, that is a little complicated, and we also have the get method that we want to look at. The get method actually does use JSON, though. So let's take a look at actually using that. So we'll go ahead and we'll comment out all of this, because we don't need that anymore. Now we'll use self.client again, and we'll call invoke API, but this time we're going to use the other method. So here we're going to call test API again. We're not going to pass a body. We're going to do a get request this time. We don't have any parameters. We don't have any headers. And now, just like before, we'll log the status code. Now, instead of having to reinterpret the data here, we can just say nslog. NSLog and just log the result. So we'll go ahead and build that. And now if we run things, now if we hit that button, we see now in the console that we've got a 200 response code, and here's our data, that JSON data that we sent back. Much simpler than just running a string, but we can do that if we want to. Now that we're done with that, let's move on to script source control. To do so, let's return to the portal, and inside here we're going to go to the dashboard. To enable script source control, we go to the dashboard, and then you have to wait a second, and you'll see this setup source control show up right here. So we'll go ahead and click on that. And then you'll click yes, you want to do it. Now, if you haven't done this before, it's going to prompt you to create credentials, which you use to log into the repository that it's going to create behind the scenes for you. Since I've already created those credentials, it's not asking me for those right now. Now that script source control is set up, we've been taking the configure tab, where we see we have a git URL and a deployment trigger URL. Let's go ahead and copy this git URL. And I'll go ahead and I will open the console. So here I'm just going to say git clone, and then I'll copy in my URL. It's going to ask me for the username and password. Again, if it was your first time, you would have just been asked to create these. Once it does that, it pulls down our repository. If I look here, we see we have an iOS service, so it's named the same thing as my mobile service. And then I have a service folder inside of that. So once I'm inside the service folder, we see that we have a folder named API, a folder named scheduler, a folder named shared, and a folder named table. If I look at the API folder, we see we've got three files. First is a README that will explain what exactly is in this folder. Then there's a JS file and a JSON file for the API we just created a minute ago. Now if I look at the test API, we'll see that we can see the exact script that I just generated or I just put in with the editor. I could edit this locally and then I could push it back up using Git if I wanted to. The next file we'll look at is the JSON file. Inside here, we have permissions for each of the operations against that API method. Now, I can also change the permissions here and then push that up back up to the server as well. Now, if we look at the table folder, we see we have a to-do item.json because we have a to-do item table, and that's the permissions for the to-do item. If I go back into the server really quickly, or to the portal really quickly, and I go to my to-do item table, if I go to the script, and let's just say I change my script right here, and I say item.userid equals user.userid. So I'll save my script change. Now we'll go back here, and I'm going to say git pull origin master. Now, if I look at the table, or the table folder, we'll see that we have a to-do item.insert.js. So every time I update the script on the server side, I can pull that down to the client side. Just like if I update it on the client side, I can push it up to the server side. Now, the scheduler folder contains any scripts that we might have for the scheduled jobs. The table folder obviously contains the table scripts. The shared folder is a little bit special, though. If we look at the shared folder, there's a README there that, again, will tell you how to use it. Basically, the shared folder allows you to create shared scripts that you can then reuse the functionality in your other scripts. So we're going to go ahead and do that right now by creating a shared script that will act as a calculator. So I'll say shared slash calc.js. So inside here, I'm going to say exports.add. So I'm going to export an add method, and we'll make this a function that takes in two parameters, and it's just going to return the addition of those parameters. I'll save that right there. Now if I say git status, I'll see I've changed that file, so I'll say git add dot, then I'll commit that file to my change set, and then I'll push it up to the server. Now, basically, there's a lot of stuff there, but basically it's just saying it's pushed it up to the server, and then it's deployed our script changes. Now, if I go back here, and I go to my custom API again, we'll go inside here, and I'm going to change this where it's returning the JSON, because that's the last method I had called for my app. So here what I'm going to say is I'm going to say var calc equals require dot dot slash shared slash calc dot js. And then I can use that, and I'll say var addition equals calc.add 1, 2. And then down here, I'll just say I should probably actually spell that correctly, though. So we'll say that right there. So now I'll save that change. Now if I go back to my application, and I hit, let's actually go back here and clear this so we can see it. And I hit the button now. So now I've got the data comes back as hello world 3 because on the server side I'm adding 1 plus 2 and then I'm adding that to the result. So I've just created a reusable module that I can use from any of my other scripts very easily. The last thing I'll comment on is NPM support. Once you've activated script source control, you can use npm install, which is the node package manager, to install any node modules that are available, and you can install them into your repo and then use them from all of your scripts. There are many, many different node modules available publicly that you can use to really enhance the functionality of your scripts without having to code a lot of the stuff yourself. And if you do find yourself needing some sort of a custom module, you can put that in the shared script folder and then access it from all of your scripts as well. I hope this has given you a good overview of some of the new scripting features of mobile services. Thanks for watching.